And there's someone who remembered it. The title, I was impressed. Look to Isaiah chapter 42. Get this, if you have the tape or CD from the last time I did this, maybe CDs weren't even out.
No, there
were
no CDs.
But you'll compare them and see they are different. I went off in another direction, not too far off. Isaiah 42, right? Look to verses 1, 2, and 3. Behold, my servant whom I upheld, my elect one in whom my soul delights, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. Isaiah perfectly saw the heart of Jesus and what Jesus came to do. This is a prophecy. It's really about Jesus, okay? He summed up his character and ministry in this prophecy as we look to verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break. Go back and speak again. He compares this bruised reed to you and me. So I hear so many wild stories about Jesus and how he'll break your neck and do this and do that. He doesn't do that. And a smoking flax he will not quench. Okay? A bruised reed Jesus would not break. Now, as we said some years back, reeds do grow in abundance in Israel. Okay? And the children would sit along the bank of a river and pick them up and blow on them like musical pipes. They'd sit along this river and they look up and they talk to each other. Hey, there's Denny fishing. There's Nikki fishing. Or I don't know what he's doing. There's Gary fishing. Who else fishing in here? We got a lot of fishermen in here. And they would talk about each one of them. So they use these bruised reeds for musical pipes. Isn't that something? This was a delicate task, and they had to take their time because they would break easily. But since they had so many of them, they would just discard them if they did break. But if it was bruised, it was useless for making music, and the children would break it up and just throw it away. There are plenty more to work with. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, would be characterized as the one who would not discard those who are bruised in the making. So if people say that about Jesus, it's just not true. Look over to Jeremiah chapter 30. I don't think you'll find this scripture in the first teaching. I found the notes, but I don't know where this tape is. It's somewhere. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, says the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, no one seeks her. Now look to Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. We'll look at this in the Amplified. I do have another Amplified Bible. It's real thick and everything. I know I got duct tape on this. Still reads. Isaiah chapter 30, we're looking for verse 18 in the Amplified. And therefore the Lord earnestly waits, expecting, looking, and longing to be gracious to you. And therefore he lifts himself up that he may have mercy on you and show loving kindness to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed, happy, fortunate to be envied are all those who earnestly wait for him, who expect and look and long for him, for his victory, his favor, his love, his peace, his joy, and his matchless, unbroken companionship. That's a pretty powerful verse there. Are you wounded, lonely? Are you ridden with shame and guilt, helps on the way.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Let's look back to Isaiah 42. Probably have to extend this a little bit, huh? Nah. We don't need to do that. I'll come in, there'll be a new altar. I like this one. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 3, part B. And smoking flax he will not quench. Now back in the Bible days, the Israelite homes were lit by little oil lamps. Be nice to have those today, right? A little cheaper. A wick made of flax floated in the oil gave light to the house. If the oil ran out, the stench of the burning flax was terrible. And embarrassed, the wife would throw it out the window. She had a box full of wicks, and discarding one would make no difference. Jesus, however, would not throw out those who were charred. He doesn't do that. How many know people are charred by life and circumstances? The devil himself. But Jesus will not discard you. What he does is play his song of grace to you. He takes the smoking remnants of life and makes them into vehicles through whom he would be the light of the world. Look to Matthew chapter 5. In verse 14, you are the light of the world. You see why the enemy comes in and tries to hit you? He wants you to walk in darkness. And then when that happens, we stumble, we fall. But you're the light of the world. Don't let him put out your light. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine. That's important there. Don't make it shine. He said, let it shine. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I read verse 15, did I? All right, nor do they, verse 15, light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. All right, with that in mind, I said, don't make it shine, let it shine. Look over to Luke chapter 4 and verse 18. I better slow down. I'm going to finish this in 15 minutes. We'll get testimonies then. Luke 4. We have good testimonies. You know, Denny, there are people in here, they tell me all their problems, but when something good happens, I never hear about it. Never, in a lot of cases. Isn't that something, Bob? Luke 4, 18. I like to hear people being blessed. Verse 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. What will you say to the poor? You don't have to be poor no more. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What is the acceptable year of the Lord? God, you know it. Anyone? Jubilee. Okay. Have you messed up in life? We all have. But Jesus is not going to throw you out. He won't discard you. He said he would never leave you nor forsake you. That doesn't mean that you won't leave him or forsake him. There's one thing we know for sure Jesus won't do. That's violate your will. If he violates your will, he will get everybody saved. But it's a choice we all have to make, especially after we hear the word, right? He won't violate your will. Don't you wish you would have sometime in the choices you made? No? Okay. Yep, then he said, yep. Psalm 84. Verse 1. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts. How my soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on the pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca. We're going to come back to that valley. They make it a spring. Their rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O Jacob, O God of Jacob. O God, behold our shield and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. Now here, this is very important. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man or woman who trusts in you. Look to verse 6, please. Verse 6. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. Baca, according to Finnis Dakes, he has it right in his footnote, means the valley of weeping, making a well of tears. Not a good place to be in, huh? A literal translation means a valley of misery. You ever been through there? Don't stay there long. The sorrows of life can become an opportunity for us to drink from the well of life. And then joy will spring forth. Look to Isaiah chapter 12. How many want to be refreshed? Go to the well of life or the well of joy. That's in Isaiah chapter 12. We're not going too fast, are we? Isaiah 12. Verse 2 through 5. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, meaning Yahweh, the Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, praise the name, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples, make mention that his name is exalted. Verse 5, sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. You like that? Yes, sir. Look to Isaiah 35. Verse 10. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. See how much different this is than sighing? With everlasting joy in their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isaiah 51. I think it's identical as Isaiah 35, verse 10. Amazing. Figured we needed to hear this, right? I think it's really word for word. So the ransom of the Lord shall return, verse 11. and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy in their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Maybe some of you have been bruised from past experiences. In fact, I can honestly say every one of us have in some way or another, right? You can't hide from your past. You got to face it. But don't camp there. Face it. Forgive anyone or everyone who's caused some bruises in your life and move on. Don't camp there, especially in the valley of misery. Okay, Isaiah 43. We kept you in one book here for about four scriptures. You're going to like Isaiah 43, verse 18. Everybody there? Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now that shall spring forth, shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So you take Jesus' hand and let him lead you into that new thing. Yeah, it's a new thing for each and every one of us. You believe it? Then receive it. All right, Philippians chapter 1. Get a little bit of word this morning anyway. Philippians chapter 1. How can you go all week without reading your word? It's good news. Look to verse 6 of Philippians. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you. God's begun a good work in you. It says, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Now, this next book in the New Testament is one page. Filet Mignon, verse 6. It's Philemon. This one page right before Hebrews, verse 6 says that, now this is New King James, probably different in your King James, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you is in Christ Jesus. You notice how good is associated with Jesus. He doesn't put cancer on you. Where would he get it, first of all? And how can he put it on you? If he touches you, he heals you. But you know what? You tell people this, and sometimes you know what it's like. You've been there. Isn't that right? I don't know why they want to think God would do that. Do you? I don't know how you could win someone to the Lord by saying, come to Jesus. He'll put cancer on you. Yeah, I'm just waiting. I'll come right now. Now, this is important, church. Basically, there are two images we can have of ourselves. The one is the one we should have if you're born again. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's one image. And the other one, unfortunate to say, is what most people have of themselves. The image that we have of ourselves, the second one, which is rooted in anything other than God's love for you and me. And most believe the image that they have of themselves, they have that of themselves instead of the one Jesus has of us. The one Jesus has of us is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The other one is anything else but that. That's the image they have. So consequently, they have a poor self-image even after they've been born again. Romans 8:29 says we've been conformed to the image of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be, conformed to his image. What image do you have of yourself? First one or second? Good. We can move on. Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's good to have cheerleaders. You know that. Hallelujah. Amen. Sincere ones. Deuteronomy 6. Verse 23. Then he brought us out from there that he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. God has brought us out so he can bring us in. Colossians 1:13, 12 and 13 says we've been translated out of darkness into his marvelous light. He brought us out of darkness into light. Aren't you glad? He's brought us out so he could bring us in. We have been purchased with his blood, right? And we have been purposed. Say purchased and purposed. Very good. Jesus, our high priest, has purchased us. And Jesus, our King of Kings, is purposing us. We all have a purpose. He purchased as our high priest, and as our king, he's purposing us. Let's look back now to Ezekiel. Ezekiel. Chapter 34, verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. Now, skip down or up to verse 15. I will feed my flock and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost, and bring back what was driven away, and bind up the broken, and strengthen what was sick. But I'll destroy the fat and the strong, and feed them in judgment. Jesus spoke of himself as the covenant shepherd. He's a covenant-keeping God, isn't that right? Who had come to gather together his sheep, heal them and bring them to rest and safety. Remember how he would leave the 99 to go get the one? Still like that today. Luke 19. I'll just quote it. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Aren't you blessed to know that he came after you? Yeah. All right, Matthew 9. Why would he come after you, seek after you, and make you sick and broke? You know, that doesn't even make sense, does it? Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Now, the New American Standard says this: they were distressed, I want to define those words, and downcast. That's bad, huh? The word New King James is weary. The New American Standard says distressed. And in the Greek language, it's used to describe a person who has been attacked and his valuables stolen. He now lies frightened, bewildered, too weak to move from the side of the road where he has been left. The next word in the New American Standard is downcast. It also has been used to describe a person who has fallen down and is helpless to get up. To look at that crowd of people, one would have seen a group of decent, respectable peasants from Galilee. Most of the families read and memorize much of the scripture, and their lives were ordered around trying to obey their precepts. Isn't that true? Look to Joshua. You could leave out a breath of life. This is the last scripture. Joshua chapter 1. You're probably there before I am. Look at verse 7. Verse 6. You see how many times he repeats this. He wants us to get this. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide it as an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. If you want to make the news, buy a nice jet and ask for contributions. I don't have a problem with anybody having a jet that does a lot of ministry. But I don't know if I'd ask. You may want to ask your congregation or your partner to support you. I think you'd be better off doing it by letter. Because the news is just ready to grasp at. And the unsaved don't understand. And a lot of Christians don't. I don't begrudge anybody of anything. I'm sure they do need a plane to get from one place to another much quicker. Have you ever flown in the airlines? Thank God for them, but, you know. Is it really? All right, we don't want to get off the subject here. I'm just saying, use some wisdom. Verse 7 says, only be strong and very courageous. And I like the guy. I have nothing against him. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That means you have to be in the Word every day. Get in your heart, out your mouth. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way. Who's going to make your way? You. God, your help me. But you have a lot to do with this. And mainly it's with the choices we make. I might have to go to another one. And then you have good success, because choices. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Just go back into Deuteronomy. Chapter 30. Choices. Right? Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, open book tests. He says, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. That you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord God swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. That's all I have to give, praise the Lord. Let's stand.